Come on up. Okay. Now, hopefully the adults have closed their ears. This one is just for you. Have any of you guys ever messed up before? Have any of you ever lied before? Okay, now, well, if you're perfect, then maybe this won't apply to you. Who paid for all of my sins? You know who paid for all my sins? Jesus paid with his entire life, didn't he? With his blood. Let me ask you this, though. When did he pay for all my sins? Good. So are you still waiting for him to pay for your sins, or has he already paid for them? How many of your sins has he paid for? Absolutely all of them. Isn't that awesome? Can I tell you a trick? Can I tell you what I do? I hope the adults aren't listening. It's a secret for you. Here's what I do. When I sin or when I mess up, do you know what I say? Thank you, Jesus. Do you know what I remember? That he already paid for it all. And I thank him for that. And then I can run into the arms of my Heavenly Father and talk with him, not ashamed at all, huh? Isn't that awesome that he paid for all your sins? He paid for all my sins. When did he pay for them? Already. Isn't that awesome? Does that make you happy? Makes me happy. Okay, guys, you can go find your seats. You can go find your seats. Okay, good. Good. They're so precious. All right, Megan's doing children's church today. Normally, she prays for me at the front end of the sermon, so I'll pray for myself. No, I can do it. Thank you, though. That's sweet of you. We already had this planned. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for me. And no, I really do thank God for how he made me. And I just pray, Father, that that you would bless everyone here today in Jesus' name. Amen. You think it's funny to say thank you for me? God gave gifts to men. This might sound really odd to you, but humility is not a negative view of yourself. It's an honest view of yourself. And I know that he's gifted me as a fivefold minister of some sort. I don't know what type. Doesn't matter to me right now. But I do know that there's a grace upon my life to communicate his grace. And the Bible says when you honor a prophet, for instance, you receive a prophet's reward. So when I actually, like when Megan, you'll notice, she'll often pray, thank you for Pete, da 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 da, right? And that's why I'm doing the same thing. It's not about me, but there is a grace on me to do what I'm doing. And so I'm thanking the Lord for that. I want to receive from it too. Often I'm as excited to listen to the sermons again probably as you are because I listen to them like, man, that's good, you know. And if I think it's good when I'm listening to it again, it means it wasn't for me, you know. And okay, well, let's just jump in. Hey, couple things, practical. I have giving statements for y'all. I got a lot of them handed out earlier, but get your giving statement before you leave. You need to have your giving statement in hand before you file your taxes, technically, okay? So those are there. Thank you all for your generosity. In the giving statement, like I did last year, I just went through some of our sermon transcriptions and wrote up some of the testimonies that were in the, like, for the whole year. Man, it's such a blessing to look back through and see the testimonies. So you'll see that there. Of course, one of our major testimonies, thanks to Joshua, was this new space. So thank you, Joshua, for connecting us. Really appreciate it. And so anyway, that's good. Well, this is my sixth message I've preached in the last 7 days, believe it or not. I was out in Idaho, and it's been awesome. Thank you for those of you who are praying. I was out in Idaho, got to share twice at my friend Chris's church, and then I did a men's retreat for 3 days at a ski resort in Idaho. And really beautiful. The ski resort goes about 3,000 feet above this huge lake called Lake Pendere. And so when you're on the mountain and looking down, I mean, it's not like you see other mountains out in front of you. You just see a precipitous drop all the way down to this huge lake. It's really gorgeous. The weather was great. The skiing was good. I didn't fall. Praise God. I kept declaring, I hadn't skied in 10 years. And I kept declaring, he who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Thank you, Lord. It's coming out of my mouth as I'm going down the hill and stuff like that. And I'm reminding myself, pride comes before a fall. So I'm like, I'm going to stay in humility. Thank you, Jesus. It was fun. We had a great time. The men were just precious. It was really strong. I taught on grace. Some of what I taught there, I'm going to be bringing today. And how do I want to say this? At the start of my time with the men, I asked them this. I said, close your eyes, and you've got 0.3 of a second to respond to this question I'm going to ask you. And I said, you ready? They say, we're ready. Eyes are closed. I said, raise your hand if you're completely perfect before God right now. 4 hands out of 30 went up. Exactly what I'd expect. By the end of the 3 days, every single hand shot up immediately. I taught them on grace. I taught them of the righteous standing before God through the blood of Jesus Christ over and over and over and over. The comments were things like, this message, Peter, changes everything. People were saying things, it was radically setting people free. Go figure. Truth was setting people. Amen? So I'm excited to share this with you guys. I do want to encourage you. Praise God. This is what we get to live in. The reality is, unfortunately, many churches, this is not the message that's taught. And yet Hebrews 5 makes it clear that if you are unskilled in the word of righteousness, this teaching, you will not be able to handle the meat of the word, but instead only milk. It also makes it clear that this is the foundation. Paul said, no other foundation, we just started the message, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And you go to Peter and it says, earnestly desire pure spiritual milk. What's the spiritual milk? A specific message, the message of righteousness. What sort of righteousness? Self-righteousness, brother. No, not self-righteousness, Christ righteousness. Okay, so the message of righteousness is the pure spiritual milk that Peter says to earnestly desire that you may grow thereby. There's no other message that causes you to grow spiritually as a foundation like the message of grace, the message of your righteousness in Christ. Good? So we're back to grace. We're back to basics. So where are we coming from and where are we going? This, I'm kind of starting a new series today from what I was doing. Remember, we had that the 20th, I think it was January 20th, we canceled church because of the snow. So it's been a little bit since we've been together. Where we were, remember, we were talking about why grace. And one of the main points I was making is grace is where all the power is. All the power is in one message, Romans 1:16. For in it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So in it is the power of God. Grace is the solution to whatever issue ails you. A lot of believers, when I meet with them, usually not as much from this church, but when I meet with people that don't go to our church, usually they're talking with me about their problems, but I don't know if they're talking to their problem about their father. They're talking with me about their problems, but I don't know if they're talking to their problem about their father. It's grace that transforms. Believers' tendency is to try to address issues by speaking about the issue. But 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, if you'll awake to righteousness, you'll stop sinning. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. A righteousness consciousness produces righteous living. A sin consciousness produces sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So what I want to go after today, where are we going? Is what I want to go after is being established in righteousness. Established in righteousness. Turn with me to Isaiah 54, verses 11 to 14, please. Ryan, your Bible is awesome, man. Ryan's got years of markups in his Bible. Usually I mark it up for a year or two and then I buy a new one because it just, I start wondering if I'm reading my words or his word.
I have too much.
That's awesome, man. Hey, do you want to read Isaiah 54, 11 to 14?
Sure, if I can read it. Yeah, 11 through 14, you said?
Yeah. All right. Oh, you afflicted ones, tossed with tempest and not confronted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems. And lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you.
Your all hunger level needs to go up a little bit. Can I just tell you, I can feel it in the room. I've taught five other messages this week, and sometimes to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet, but to the satisfied soul, they loathe even honey. I'm encouraging you, turn on your hunger. How can I turn on my hunger, Peter? Here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you what Jesus asked you often in the Gospels. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I've not arrived. You've not arrived. We've not arrived. I want our hunger to go up. This might seem like a rebuke. It's not meant to be, but it is. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm saying our hunger needs to go up. We have not arrived. Okay? Listen, we have not arrived. We have not arrived. Well, Peter, I thought you were going to be encouraging. I am, because you're... What do you want me to do for you? The blind man, blind Bartimaeus, comes to Jesus. He's crying out to Jesus. They're telling him, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm looking for some people to cry out to Jesus. Okay? These people around him are saying, shut up. He doesn't pay attention to him because he knows God the Father is more interested in his cries than he is the other decorum. Jesus has a whole multitude with him, stops a multitude, which means more than 1,000 people are going with Jesus and, you know, to do something, stops everything for one. Talks to blind Bartimaeus, and you would think he would know exactly what blind Bartimaeus wants Jesus to do for him. And yet Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? You have not because you ask not. Jesus actually caused Bartimaeus to come into a place of faith. He's healed, and then he says, your faith has made you well. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm saying, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Joe said this recently, you know, you go to the amusement park for the theme rides, not to pay a bunch of money for food, right? Like, you know why you're going there. I'm saying you're going to church because you want Jesus to do something for you. And I'm just telling you, I can feel it in the room. There's not the draw that I want to feel from y'all. And so I'm encouraging you, hunger, hunger, hunger. What is it that you're hungry for in the Lord? I'm going to just give you a second right now. Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you this year, this month? We have to learn the place of being satisfied yet still hungry. Humility is what keeps you there. Humility is what keeps you there. Humility is what keeps you there. All hunger stems from humility. A humility is an accurate view of yourself. More than half of the backs that I pray for are healed instantly. But it seems like I never can touch the flu or something like that. Do you see what I mean? I'm taking note of that. That's humility. It's an honest view of where I'm at. I'm seeing huge breakthrough in one area, but in another area I'm not seeing breakthrough. And if I get hungry about that, then I can go after that and I'll ask and I'll receive. Sometimes we get so enamored with the things that we asked for in last season, the answers to last season's prayers, that we stop praying a new season's prayers. That's right, Peter. This is what happens. We plateau. I used to say, if we think that we've arrived, we're right. Whatever extent I think that I've arrived is the extent that I stop growing. And yet we're always satisfied in the Lord and satisfied in his love. But I'm saying that I think that the messages that used to be so sweet to a hungry soul can become something that we despise because we've become oversatisfied with breakthrough that we think we have, but we don't actually fully have. Yeah. We've not arrived. I praise God. I mean, I just told you about the testimonies, a page and a half of just the testimonies reported here, and there's lots more that weren't reported at main service. So praise God we've left. And praise God for his love, which makes us content at all times and in all things. But we've not yet arrived. There's more. If you need breakthrough in your business, if you need breakthrough in health, you know, I'm waiting for some family in here to get so serious about healing that you never again have a sickness in your household. It's just a matter of whether you want it. And it's not a burden. It's not like a work. You guys understand where I'm coming from, and of course you'll understand more with this sermon series, but I'm not talking about making faith a work. I'm just saying whether you want something or not. Turn with me to John 15. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I feel like the Father's saying right now, do you want to go on an adventure with me or do you just want to stay here? I feel like it's like your Father saying, hey, I got tickets to this great game. Or I just secured plane tickets to go to Hawaii. And you're like, but the mansion feels great. And it's okay, you can stay where you're at, but I just feel like the Father's offering upgrade to each person, and I'm challenging you to say, are you hungry for more? Because if we think that we've arrived, we're right, that's it, until we get hungry again. It's humility that brings us back to a place of hunger. Humility to say, well, actually, I don't see flus healed typically. And when am I going to see cancer disappear instantly? And when is my voice really, this is me, when is my voice really going to come out in the form of books? Because it's about time. And what does the Lord want to do in my heart so that I'm ready to step into that destiny? Do you see what I'm saying? And so I'm stirring up faith and hope right now in your heart for things that you've turned off, and it's time to hope again. It's time to hope again. Because sometimes we plateau because we've lost a sense of hope. But he's the God of all hope, is going to give you joy and peace in believing. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Watch, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so you will be my disciples. In other words, this is the walk of a disciple, to stay connected to Christ and to bear much fruit through a whole lot of asking, through a whole lot of asking, through a whole lot of asking. It should be the case that typically anybody in our body who talks to any other person in our body could ask them, what are you asking God for? And if something doesn't come to your mind, they might say, let me help you find a place of hope so that you can start asking again. This is the culture of our church, is to receive. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith asks. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his loves. Watch this. He's going to tell you why he just said all of this about bearing fruit. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Religion asks you to follow a God who doesn't answer your prayers. if religion had a head, I'd put it on the ground right here with these size 13 hiking boots and kick it with its my Vibram soles out of here. Religion asks you to follow a God who doesn't answer prayers. But Jesus said, I want you to be in the process of, John 15, asking and receiving, abiding and receiving, asking and receiving, producing fruit through abiding, always in that process that your joy may be made full. The joy in your walk is contingent upon your abiding and receiving in faith the fruit of your connection. Religion tries to convince you that you don't need fruit. God is saying your joy in your walk with him is contingent upon being fruitful. Fruitfulness in Christ is not an option for a walk with him. But what I'll do, I'll speak for myself, is I'll have fruit from last season that I'm eating, and then I'm not doing the abiding, the things that were producing the fruit. And part of the thing that you can forget to do is to ask again, to ask for the breakthrough again. What is it in this season? And look, there's some things are seasonal, like the Lord will bring you into broad place, and you're like, this is just, I feel like a season for me to rest, and it's not about conquering new territory and all that sort of thing. Well, good. But there is also a season for taking new ground, okay? And I just feel like I need to stir you all. What's the fruit that you're after? What's the fruit that you're after? What's the fruit that you're after? We have not arrived. Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the standard. Every person that came to him, he had a revelation or a prophetic word or a healing or a demon cast out of them. He always saw what the Father was doing. He always heard what the Father was saying. If I'm not there yet, I haven't arrived yet. Oh, I want to just stir faith in you. I mean, just read the Gospels and say, that's me. That's me. And if I don't look like that yet, praise God, he's got more for me because he lives inside you. Okay. Scratch that itch. Ryan, I'm not going to have you read Isaiah 54 again, or we might go again.
Okay. I don't know if I can read it anyway.
Unfortunately, most believers, Isaiah 54:11, are storm-tossed and not comforted. See, right now what I'm trying to stir up is that this grace message is what will empower whatever it is that you're looking for. Because your connection to the Father, Hebrews 8:12, is contingent upon you recognizing that he'll be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and lawless deeds he remembers no more. That's what causes you to see the Father face to face for yourself. That's what causes you to not fear being shamed by him, but instead to connect with him. And it's out of your connection that all the abundance and all the fruitfulness comes. The gospel of grace is what empowers your connection. Your connection is through the gospel of grace. And so this last week when I'm speaking to men about the gospel of grace, they're talking with me and they're like, I'm just so excited about God. And why? They're feeling connected to him. Okay. Most believers are afflicted and storm-tossed, tossed with tempest and not comforted. But verse 14 gives you a promise. God wants to establish each of us in righteousness. He wants to establish each of us in righteousness. This is the foundational truth. It's the foundational teaching. If you ever wonder, hey, I just saw someone get saved. My brother got saved. My dad got saved. What should I teach them first? Excuse me. The gospel of grace. Yes. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid. They should be earnestly desiring pure spiritual milk, and you should give them pure spiritual milk, which is the gospel of grace. It is their righteousness in Christ. Okay, so let me jump right in. By the way, turn with me to Romans 5, or no, let's do Romans 6:23 first. Romans 6:23, a very classic scripture. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Duh, I'm blind. But once he said that I'd receive my sight, Lord, then he was healed. And Jesus said, "Your faith," which looked like asking, "has made you well." If you get nothing else today, I want to encourage you, you need to ask. You need to ask. You need to ask. If you're not asking, you're not faithing. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Classic verse, right? And if you go out witnessing, or people teach you to go witnessing, they'll teach you to share this verse, which is a great one to share. And you can say that going to heaven, the eternal life, is a gift, right? You can't earn it. Gifts are given freely. They're not given because you earn something. If you earned it, it's a wage. But if it's given freely, it's a gift. Now, I want to connect this concept of the gift of God for you to Romans 5:17. So just go like a page earlier to Romans 5:17, please. You ready? For what by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm wanting to highlight. When you get saved, you receive the gift of eternal life, and we know that, right? But I want to highlight something. You don't just receive the gift of eternal life. Why does it use the exact same language a chapter earlier? You've received also, with the gift of eternal life, another gift as part of that gift package. It's the gift of righteousness, which means to be in perfect right standing before the Father. Such if someone asked you, "Are you perfect before God right now?" your hand would shoot straight up. Okay? Now, let's turn to John 16. Verses 7 through 11. Everything I'm sharing with you right now is absolutely essential if you're going to be one who asks. If our heart condemns us, 1 John 3 says, we don't have confidence before the Father. But if our heart does not have condemn us, we have confidence that we'll receive what we ask. Asking is contingent upon confidence before the Father, and confidence before the Father is contingent upon no condemnation. Y'all good? Okay. John 16, verses 7 through 11. Now, the word we're going to look at here is the word conviction. And I've heard believers for years talk about being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you of something. The Holy Spirit is trying to convict you of something. Now, conviction comes from the Latin con, C-O-N, and then V-I-C-T-I-O-N, right? Con means with in the Latin. Viction comes from the word to see. So a conviction of the Holy Spirit means to see with God what he's seeing. Conviction means to see with. And so if I say the Holy Spirit's convicting me of something, then I should be seeing what the Holy Spirit's seeing with him. That's conviction. Good? So let's look at John 16 to see what the Holy Spirit's convicting you of right now. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Who's the helper? Holy Spirit, right? "And when he has come, Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." See, it's right there. He's convicting us of sin, isn't he? You got to keep reading. "Of sin, because they do not believe in me." Who here does not believe in Jesus? Because if someone does not believe in Jesus, Holy Spirit is actually convicting them of sin. Why? So that they can receive their Savior. Do you remember John the Baptist's ministry? Was it not empowered by Holy Spirit? And what did he do? What was his message? A baptism of repentance. Repentance, repentance. You guys are sinners. You guys are sinners. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. You guys are sinners. You need a Savior. And John was prophesied, and it said that John would be sent ahead of the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. And so John went forth saying, you guys need a Savior. Y'all are sinners. You need a Savior, right? Holy Spirit is still ministering in the same way. Holy Spirit saying, I'm convicting the world of sin. Why? Because they do not believe in me. Hey, kiddos, if you can be a little bit more quiet, please. I think it's a little bit distracting today. So try to be as quiet as you can. So he's convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because what? They do not believe in me. Who here is in the position of not believing in Jesus? And then it says right after that, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. To unbelievers, Holy Spirit is convicting them of their need of a Savior. To believers, us, he's convicting of us of our righteous standing before God because of the blood of his Son Jesus, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And to Satan, he's convicting him that he's already been judged. What's one of the names for Satan? The accuser of the... Now, has anybody ever noticed that satanic symbols are usually inversions of things? Like, you know, if you see a cross that's upside down, the hair stands up on your on your skin a little bit, you're like, ooh, what's that all about? Satan inverts. He has no creative capacity, so he only inverts and perverts what exists in the kingdom. So the accuser of the brethren, will he say the same thing that God is saying? Or will he say an inversion of it? Now watch how the accuser of the brethren partners with unsuspecting Christians to minister the exact opposite of what Holy Spirit's ministering. Holy Spirit's saying to a sinner, you need a Savior. Holy Spirit's saying to a believer, you're righteous. What's the opposite? Anybody remember being not saved in your adult life? Do you remember the feeling of just being like, whatever that stuff about Jesus, I'm fine. Who's telling you that? The one that once you get saved is going to accuse you of not being fine. The accuser of the brethren is working an unbeliever's life to say, you're fine. You're right before God. There's many paths to God. You're fine. That sin isn't a big issue. You're a nice guy. Right? But then once you get saved and actually are righteous by the blood of Jesus, what we say is Holy Spirit's convicting me of being a sinner. But actually Holy Spirit's convicting you of being righteous before God. Because he became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that awesome? 2 Corinthians 5:21. So Holy Spirit, if you want to see with Holy Spirit right now, what you need to see is that you're righteous before God. That's what Holy Spirit's ministering to you day in, day out, day in, day out. He's saying, righteous, 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 righteous. The accuser of the brethren is accusing you of not being righteous. Over and over and over. And if you don't know this truth, then you can fall for the lie. Good? Let me just give you another scripture to back up what I'm saying, and then I'll wrap there. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 13. Okay, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant.
Okay, what you're going to see here is you're going to see like in one column of a chart and another column of a chart. The one column is the old covenant, and the other column is the new covenant. And you're going to see a set of language, like three or four descriptors of the old covenant, and they're being used interchangeably because they're the same, and three or four descriptors of the new covenant, and they're being used interchangeably because they're the same. Good? Ministers of the new covenant. So that would be over here, right? Mm-hmm. Now, not of the letter, which would be over here. What's the letter? The law for righteousness. The law of Moses, the law for righteousness, where the Israelites were like, yeah, we can do all that. Mm-hmm. Whoops. But of the Spirit, watch, not the letter, but of the Spirit, which is the new covenant. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death of the letter of the old covenant, written and engraved on stones, is it clear what stones we're talking about? Okay. Was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit, new covenant, not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, do you guys see it? If the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness, new covenant, exceeds much more in glory. I want to connect this up for you. Let me just read the things that are talking about the old covenant. The letter, the ministry of death, engraved on stones, ministry of condemnation. Old covenant. New covenant is called the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of righteousness. Let me ask you, if the ministry of the Spirit is the new covenant and the ministry of the Spirit is being used interchangeably with this phrase, the ministry of righteousness, what is Holy Spirit ministering to every believer? Righteousness. Do you see that? Couple that with John 16 and you're really going to be able to help people out. Imagine if as a believer, every time the accuser of the brethren fires an accusation my way, that I presume it's from Holy Spirit. He walks around as an angel of light, doesn't he? Do you see what I'm saying? The ministry of Holy Spirit is a ministry of righteousness. He's ministering your righteousness to you. Good? Okay. Well, let's do this. Here's what I want to go after. I got started on that message, but the right established in righteousness, I'll pick it up next time. Here's what I want to go after. I want to go after this thing of asking. We have to get aggressive in our asking, okay? So let's do this. How about this? Did you guys come up with something before that you're asking God for when I gave you a minute? Raise your hand if you need another minute to come up with something, okay? Take another few seconds, and then we're going to activate it, okay? So what are you believing God for? What's something that you can ask him for? And if you think it's obvious to God what you want, put it into words. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want everyone to stand up and find a partner. And when you get together, I want the other person to pray for the thing that you're going after as if it was your own thing. Pray with more earnestness for them than you'd even pray for yourself, okay? So stand up, find someone. You don't even need to know what it is. Yeah, it can be your spouse. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. You don't need to stand up if you don't want to, but I think it'd be fun. Stand up. I want you to pray for the other person, for that thing that they're asking for, and pray with the earnestness you want someone to pray for you with. Go ahead. Every part of God's word is like a seed, and it carries the DNA of a spiritual fruit. And when we get his word into our heart naturally produces the fruit of God. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Find a scripture to stand on. Find a scripture to stand on. I remember when we were having to contend for a pregnancy that seemed threatened, we found a scripture to stand on. And it was Proverbs 11:21, the seed of the righteous is delivered. And so I declared this baby will be delivered and delivered healthy. And I had to get that word, which is a seed itself, into my heart so that it would produce the fruit of God in my life. So I want to encourage y'all, find a scripture to stand on. If you need a job, declare, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. If you need a business blessed, declare that I'm a tither. And my vine will not fail to bear. If you need a car fixed and it looks like it's going to be expensive, I've had a $1,600 or $1,500 car fix happen for $50 before. Through the prompting of the Lord to turn here and ask a different shop. The Lord will rebuke the devourer for your sake. If you need physical healing, by his stripes you were healed. But all of the promises of God are yes and amen in him. And that's why we need the message of righteousness, because when we step into condemnation, we actually step out of faith. Faith worketh by love. Not only our love for other people, but also knowing the love of the Father causes faith to well up in our hearts. Faith is a tag along to the love of the Father. When you get the love of the Father, faith tags along with it. And so what I want to encourage you to do is two things. One, well, three things. Stir that hunger up again. Stir it up. I feel like it's a seasonal word for our body. We need to stir up hunger. We have not arrived. Two, it's all about grace and our righteous standing before him by his works, not our works. And I'll pick that up next time. And that keeps you in that place of connection. And three, find a scripture to stand on. Find a promise to stand on. Plant it in your heart. It will produce fruit. Amen. All right, well, God bless you all. Great being with you today.